back into the big story of the day. Kirk Cousins was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday, obviously talking about a lot of different things, most notably how he's feeling and how he felt on Sunday. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Smoking Joe Patrick is going to join us at 1:20, talk some Falcons with him. I'm sure he's gotten an opportunity, I know, to talk to Raheem Morris today, but I'm sure to talk to some of the other guys up there, as it's a little bit of a different week. Normally Wednesday is the day, the first day of the week where you can kind of do this.
Right.
They play Monday, so that's Thursday of this week, and I know Raheem will be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon as well, as they'll be broadcasting live from up there. And then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things up at 1:40.
Yeah, the Ticketmaster's.
Ticketmaster Studios. Studios.
Yeah, I think Turtle's still in.
You and I have got very familiar.
Yeah, man. We was up there all damn week.
Yeah. We were up there a lot of times.
Yeah,
and it was great every time.
We had some good times.
Except for that last time. That last time was the Wednesday after we went to the Braves game.
Oh, yeah.
That was a long day.
That was a long, 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 long day.
But it was fun.
It was always worth it. Yeah, it was well worth it. But, yeah, I mean, you get that, like I said, get the extra day of work in. Because of the Monday night standalone game, it's always different when the Falcons don't play on Sundays. As far as your viewing habits, my viewing habits, as far as where, you know, how, because Georgia plays tonight. Georgia plays Saturday night.
Yeah, 7:30.
So do I wake up early? Because I always wake up early on Sunday morning so I can watch all the pregames. Might sleep in because the Falcons aren't playing it. So, you know, might watch a little bit more regular TV and put regular football on.
Yeah, catch up on some of those shows.
Catch up on some of my shows, man. I
think the answer certainly for us to this question is the Falcons. It might be the Falcons in general.
What's that?
Who needs to have the best improvement from week one to week two?
As far as teams?
Yeah.
Oh,
take them out of it, though.
Okay,
who's another team in the NFL that played like garbage week one that needs to improve?
I'm going to go with the Jets. And here's the reason why the Jets. Jets play Sunday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like three games in like 11 days. All right, so I think they got to bounce back.
Now they play the Titans.
Yeah,
that's
Titans,
an opportunity
so
to bounce
the thing
back.
About they got the Titans. Will Levis need to play well in this game because how he tricked off that damn game in Chicago. But I'll go the Falcons. You said I can't say the Falcons. I'll go Jets.
I was gonna say Browns.
Eh.
I was gonna say Browns.
Like I'm not believing in that because their quarterback situation. And I
just don't know what they do.
I don't know what they do with him. I think he's still hurt. We know that there was a lot of personal stuff going on last week. You know, as far as in his family and also the lawsuits. But yeah, he just don't look good.
No.
He just don't look good.
He doesn't look good. He doesn't look healthy. He hasn't looked good since he's been there. Obviously, they owe him $1 billion. We were talking to Mark Schlereth about it yesterday. He was like, if they were to cut him, which
170
dead cap.
And like okay, so you can split
just for one guy?
Yes, but then they were like, well, you could split it up over 2 years or something like that. That's you know how much that still is?
That would still be, I think, the record for dead cap.
Yes, it would
certainly
be.
From one guy, but like I think the Falcons set the record for single season dead cap a couple years ago, and it was like 80 or something like that, just to get out from under all the contracts that they had. Now, the Browns play the Jaguars at home. The Jaguars need to win, too.
Yeah.
They had that
they
game
had,
against
they
Miami.
Had that game.
They're a good team with a lot of expectations. Trevor Lawrence just got paid all that money. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they need to win that game, too.
Yeah. So. You want to talk about a team that won but needs to look better. I think Dallas needs to look. Dallas and New Orleans is going to be a good one.
Fair.
And how good is – you know, because they got Kubiak down there. Got a son down there. He's a new OC, and I know they played the Panthers. So I'm just gonna and once bounce back. The Panthers got to look better because that was awful.
Yeah, I don't
that
know, man.
That was awful. There's two teams that they even if they lose, them damn Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah,
just look. Better.
I mean, they just looked unprofessional.
Look.
It was like unfit for NFL.
Yes.
They got the Chargers. The Chargers, good for them, by the way. Nice soft landing to the Jim Harbaugh era.
Yeah.
They got the Raiders and then the Panthers to start the season. Should be 2-0 and like a relatively light 2-0. Week two, it starts tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bills and Dolphins should be a really good game. Miami favored by 2.5 at home.
Okay.
So
that's at home. Okay.
Not getting the full 3 at home. Just 2.5 at home.
They
haven't beaten running backs.
Yeah, they
haven't
beaten them.
That's right.
They just have not beaten them.
I didn't realize it was that bad. Would you say he's 11-2 in his career against the Dolphins?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes, Tua and Ryan Tannehill, only quarterbacks to beat them in Dolphin history.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, they need this, and Tua said it in one of his pressers this week. They need it because of the narrative that they can't beat Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they need this game. They can't let Buffalo come in here and they can't let Buffalo go there and get that win.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Should be a fun way to start week two. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
No! You know, I don't know that it's rust. I think there's a level of there's certainly a lot that's new, you know, for all of us.
Right.
Where, you know, we're all kind of working together for the first time. There were some parts where you say, no, I mean, we're playing well, moving the football well, seeing things well, feeling the rush well. But we played a strong defense, and then we just didn't execute up to our standard, which involves so many things, you know, timing up motions and formations and play clock and, you know, just the subtleties of the operation of football that we're going to have to be much sharper at, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah, it would have helped if y'all would have played together a little bit.
Might have.
Yeah, it might have helped.
That's the one part of it that's frustrating to say, because you actually do have some control over that.
Yeah.
Like, you could have if you wanted to. Now, maybe they
they could not have went out there if they wanted to.
This was with him.
This is an organization.
This is not on him.
Yeah, this is not on the player at all.
That's a choice that was made intentionally by the organization.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's not just a situation they were in.
We're not going to play any of them. Which was, okay, whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to go back and forth.
They did what they did,
and you move on.
And it looked like it looked.
Exactly. It was rust, Kurt. All right, you're rusty. You haven't played football in a long time. Not necessarily saying that everybody else is rusty, but the team or the offense, they had no cohesion because they have not played against another opponent. Love what Dave said yesterday, because he's absolutely correct about the difference and all the practice and everything. You don't block that long in practice.
Yeah.
All right? It's two shuffles. You shuffle, because you're going against a scout team or whatever. You hold them off, everything like that. Even in a joint practice, you don't practice and block like you would in a football game.
Yep.
An actual game itself. Yep. It's a different speed.
That's what people are talking about when they talk about game shape and not being able to simulate.
Yes.
Because
it's different.
If you're blocking a guy and it's just not the same level of intensity for 2 seconds, whatever, and not taking him to the ground versus 5 or 6, that's 3 times as long.
Yes.
And then you're taking him to the ground and you're fighting for your life.
Yes.
Every single play.
Yes.
Like, that's exhausting.
Yes.
So you haven't done it yet.
Yes.
You've simulated it a little, but you haven't done it yet. Now you have to do it, I don't know how many times, 40 times,
yes,
50 times, 60 times in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be.
It's different.
It's just going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be different. And even if you play in the preseason, you're not going to be in 70-play game shape coming out of the preseason.
Right.
It's just what it is. But we said it earlier, and I keep saying it until we give our keys and everything on Monday. I'm going to give them a bit of a doubt that they're going to get it fixed. All right, Kurt sounds very optimistic about it. He's saying that he's fine. He's saying that he's fine. So I'm going to take the man's word for it. I know my eyes saw. He said he was fine. You know the one clip somebody sent us in our DMs, one of the pass plays.
Uh-huh.
You know, look at Kurt's feet, not stepping into it. Kurt bootlegged off of that. Looked pretty good. He carried out his fake, came up around the bootleg. Well, why the hell didn't y'all implement that in the game? I'm on Zach Robinson's ass. All right, because I need to see something different. I don't care about if it's in a pistol, whatever. I need to see some creativity with y'all running. All right, and if somebody's dominating the game, how do you adjust to that?
Yeah, no, it was a tough first game as a play caller. And I know Arch was talking about how he's been involved in play calling before. Maybe they've given him some of that when he was in L.A. It's not the same. I mean, to be the offensive coordinator and have the complete reins for a game, and it didn't go great week one. And both from a game plan standpoint, but then an ability to adjust your game plan in game standpoint, which is important. And you saw
that he didn't do it.
I'm sure that Pittsburgh had it in their game plan to avoid the middle of the field and try to be very conservative. But as the game went, they completely went there. They were like, we don't have to do anything. And Schlereth talked about this with us yesterday.
Yeah.
He was like, when they realized that they didn't even need to score touchdowns, they got significantly less aggressive as they approached the red zone, because they knew they needed 15 points, and that's all it was going to take.
Justin Fields, do not turn it over. If you're outside the pocket and it's covered, run.
There can't be another game this season where the opposing offense can say, all we need is 15 points. Like, for a million different reasons, that can't be something that someone says about this Falcons offense. And it's what they said on Sunday. Arthur Smith was... Arthur Smith loves that, by the way. He loves to call a game plan. Let's just take the air out of the ball.
Yes.
Let's be super conservative. Run it 3 times if we can. First, second, and third down. If we have to throw it, okay, but we're going to be really conservative. No one is better equipped as an offensive coordinator in the NFL right now to call plays to protect his quarterback than Arthur Smith is.
But he's had some bum-ass quarterbacks.
First of all, thanks for joining us, as you always do on Thursdays. We appreciate it. And I wonder, because obviously the immediate emotion on Monday was what it was. I know some people are still there, and I don't blame you. That was a terrible performance from your football team. But a few days removed and obviously having a chance to talk to some of these guys and watch it back and read about it and all that kind of stuff, where are you at now compared to where maybe you were on Sunday afternoon?
I think the most shocking thing that happened Sunday, at least that was visible to the fans watching in the stadium and at home, was the mobility of Kirk Cousins, and that being a big question mark that emerged during the game because they were essentially in shotgun or pistol the entire game, except for two snaps, which was a spike and a fourth down, presenting quarterback sneak. And so I would say that in the days since then, I've kind of cooled on that being something that's necessarily holding this team back, that held the team back offensively, at least on Sunday, because I think you can actually, you can run an offense like that, but there was just so many errors from the team. And sometimes in these games, when there are these kinds of, storylines on the side and things that I'm sure genuinely did affect the game plan with regards to things like Kirk's, health and things like that, you do, I think, sometimes need to kind of refocus and go back to the nuts and bolts of what wins football games. And that is the boring things, which is like not committing penalties and winning the turnover battle. And I think the Falcons, are better in the penalty area and win the turnover battle in that game, they probably win the game. It still might not have been pretty. And I still think that we would have had, questions about the offense if it worked the way that it did. But I think it's just, it's that mantra, it's coach speak, but it's probably true in this case, which is that it's never as good as it seems and it's never as bad as it seems. It feels to me like that's kind of the consensus that's emerging in the wake of that. What was really, like you said, Andy, just a really hard-to-watch football game and nothing like what we expected.
JP, what were you more surprised about, the lack of running to the right or the lack of trying to get some help as far as the protection on the right side?
Yeah, I think it was the protection. I think it was what was surprising was to see just how much TJ Watt was able to impact that game, and there was not really an answer for it. Like they were trying to do a little bit of chipping. They were trying to go five wide to kind of spread them out and get the ball out of Kirk's hands early, which helped in some instances. I thought there were some kind of green shoots in terms of what the team was doing in the screen game. Bijan could have very well scored on a screen on that opening drive if a block is held a little bit longer. That's just the way that screens work. And so I think you saw some things, but overall you just allowed TJ Watt to really wreck the game. That's the coming out of the words of Raheem Morris and what he said afterwards. That was their game plan, was to not let a lot of that happen. And of course he makes it happen. And so they've got to figure out some solutions to help, a guy like Caleb McGarry when he's in those situations, because this team will be going up against other premier pass rushers later on this season. Micah Parsons is one that comes to mind, who's kind of on that TJ Watt level. So they're going to have to figure out some things. And I think that's part of what comes with having a new coordinator is, the coaches are new to these players as well, and they may not have the greatest idea of like what their strengths and weaknesses are, especially when you don't get to see them in preseason against other starters, and they're just they're getting their first real kind of evidence as to what these players can do on Sunday. And so I think for that reason it'll be interesting to see how Zach Robinson responds, how some of the players respond, and how they kind of scheme up some things differently so they don't leave themselves so exposed.
Yeah, obviously the overall desire for Falcons fans Monday night, for the Falcons themselves Monday night, is just to be better in a lot of different ways. But when you're talking about like the specific keys that you're going to be looking for that will lead to that and that you're hoping get better from week one to week two, what, obviously the Zach Robinson part of it you just mentioned there, what are some of those things specifically that you're going to be watching for to be like, oh, that looks different and better. Okay, I see them doing this differently than they were against the Steelers. What are some of the specifics that you're going to be keyed in on?
Well, I think the most specific I can be is I'm looking for them to run one play action pass in this game.
Just give me one.
But the reason being is because, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this, like that's Kirk Cousins' MO. Like that's where he's succeeding in his career, beyond any other, in any other area. And not just Kirk Cousins, but I think when you look at this offensive line, like they're really benefited by the play action pass and helping protect. And it's because they've got that really good run game that opposing defenses have to be concerned about and they have to respect. And so if you're the Falcons, you gotta make sure that you're utilizing that respect that they give you by using the play action game to set up and help your offensive line. Because this offensive line, just statistically, has never been a good one in terms of just like protecting on natural dropbacks with no play action, because this offensive line was basically developed for the most part under Arthur Smith, who runs a very similar, you know, play action heavy scheme. And that's just kind of what they're used to. And so this was just a big departure from that. And I think that that is one of the things that's most shocking. And then to see that departure from what's typically been the game plan for the Falcons team, combined with then the result that you got out of that game plan, that's, I think, the thing that's most worrying and has fans kind of, you know, a little bit more skeptical and critical of Zach Robinson and the play calling. For as much as people had issues with the play calling under Arthur Smith, I think that, you know, the last thing I think any of us thought would happen is that those, that anxiety would be ratcheted up even more. But I just want to, I want to see more play action passing. And you're right, like running to that right side, you would think that that's where they potentially could have run right at T.J. Watt, maybe slow him down a little bit so he wasn't jumping out of his stance quite so much. And you would think that, like, you know, that's where this team has had so much success in the past, running behind Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, who are some of the best in the league at running that kind of wide zone scheme. And so I'm definitely looking to see if they do more of that in this one.
Joe, with all that being said, if they do, say, for instance, go back to and go and start doing what Kurt does well, under center, play action pass, I'm going to be frustrated as hell because I'm going to be like, why? What the hell's going on? Like, did you really have to see that debacle the week before to know? Because I'm not giving Zach Robinson a pass. You're the freaking offensive coordinator for an NFL football team. You don't have time to learn on the damn job. I'm sorry. So if he does go back to that, Joe, because what is your takeaway is from talking to them? And you, I know you don't know, whatever. Are they going to try to implement something, or is this what they are? Because if you listen to Rod talk, he's keep saying this is basically, because you told us
this is what we've been doing.
This is what we've been doing.
Yeah.
So if this is what they've been doing, then why would they change it?
Yeah, a lot of coach speak. I don't foresee them just like, you know, going like, oh, well, let's get back under center in this game. Because I personally do think that it is, you know, related to Kirk's rehab and injury and rehab. I mean, it's easy to forget that, what was it, like 9 months ago that he had surgery on a torn Achilles? Like, that is not that long ago. And so, you know, they've intentionally danced around that question that's been posed to them. Josh Kendall from The Athletic and myself were asking Raheem about that on Monday. And I would say that Raheem did not specifically address the question that was being asked to him, which was, can Kirk Cousins basically run anything that Zach wants to call? And you know, he said that he's done everything we've asked of him, and like said all these other kind of flowery things, but was not specifically answering that question. So I think that this is going to be the scheme that the Falcons are running for the most part of this season. I think that you can probably expect to see a little bit of like tapering off into something that would be considered more normal, especially for Kirk Cousins and like a, you know, Sean McVay inspired system to get back more under center as the season goes on. But I think for right now, we're going to see this team continue to run out of pistol and shotgun. We saw Aaron Rodgers, who's about 7 weeks ahead of Kirk Cousins in his Achilles thing. I mean, he's doing something similar in New York. There's a little bit more under center that he was running, but not a ton. They were still, it looked like, trying to optimize the offense in a way that helped the quarterback and what they're dealing with the injury. So I would not expect it to be a whole lot different. I just think that they just have to execute the system a little bit better. And, you know, the play calling has to be better. The quarterback has to be better. That's something that Raheem Morris said today. Like, make no bones about it. Kirk did not play well. Zach did not coach well. He didn't say that specifically, but he was, you know, very open in saying, like, we needed to be better as a coaching staff, and we will be able to get to talk to Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson after they finish practice today. So that will be you know, sound that's very well worth hearing.
No doubt. Yeah, that's definitely something folks are going to be looking forward to. Smoking Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter, like you mentioned, going to get a chance to talk to the offensive coordinator and the quarterback later today. This is more of a speculation, like, football fan putting two and two together question more than anything, and Randy can chime in too because he might have an answer. If what you're saying is true, that this scheme is going to kind of be what they're doing, it's a departure from what Kirk Cousins has done, certainly. It's a departure from what's made him all this money, and I would assume incline them to give him all this money to sign him this contract. Like, is he the type of quarterback that can thrive in that type of system where it's going to be the majority of it in shotgun and pistol and that kind of stuff? Like, is that something that he's the type of guy to be able to accomplish?
We're going to find out, I guess, because we do not know. The guy had taken 10 snaps out of the pistol in his entire career. What was that average? Like one pistol snap per year?
Playing for
Kirk or even less? Okay. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be successful with it. But, you know, and if they're not, like, again, like, this goes back to something that we were talking about with the hiring of Zach Robinson, which was that it made a lot of sense to bring in somebody who learned under Sean McVay, as did Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So it's kind of a, you know, they're all under the same kind of tree. Obviously, they do things a little differently, I'm sure, have different languages and things like that for what they call. But, like, we kind of, the understanding was that Kirk was going to be coming into a system that he would have had some knowledge of and familiarity with, and that was going to help this team click pretty quickly. And, you know, the plays are, you know, some of the passing concepts and routes and things are probably, you know, similar to what they've run, but it's different when you're doing it out of a different, you know, out of pistol. Like, you got to watch the football come in and catch the football before you can start making reads, and that's probably not something that Kirk has done a whole lot of. Obviously, he's run out of shotgun stuff like every quarterback has, but it does just change things just ever so slightly, and you do wonder if that comfortability is making an impact. And even when you look at some of his mechanics, this is also something that's been pointed out, which is that he's always been that guy who stands in a stance in the shotgun with his right foot forward. And when we saw those parallel feet in that in the game, I think that just speaks to how he's feeling on that Achilles and how the team's going to handle that. I don't know. You know, we'll see how things develop, but it already feels like a kind of a dicey situation, which you never want to be in after week one.
No doubt. There's a lot of stuff we're talking about that we didn't want to be talking about health-wise. I assume somebody will ask him about that too, right? Because I haven't heard him comment about that. So just the way he used to stand versus the way he was standing on Sunday, I don't know if it's a big deal, but whatever. But I'd be interested to hear him comment on it.
I'll be asking for sure.
Great,
thanks.
For
Joe.
Sure,
yeah, Randy doesn't want you to.
No. I want you to.
I want to say something else about what Randy said, like in terms of it being like no free passes. Like, you're totally right, and like, you know, this team didn't practice or play their starters in preseason, and with the idea that like being healthier coming into the season was going to be more optimal than getting those guys out there and maybe showing something. Maybe they didn't want to show the fact that they were going to be running out of pistol and shotgun the entire time. That's honestly my theory, but you're right. Like, you just don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, the game is the game, and it counts the same now in week one as it would in week 18. And so that's kind of a blemish on their record.
Yeah, there's no grading on a curve. We've graded on a curve the last couple of years with Desmond Ridder and Mariota and stuff like that. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. Joe, we appreciate
it, JP.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It just feels low energy.
I'm kind of like that.
It just feels low energy is all I'm saying.
I am definitely a texter that does not use a lot of punctuation.
I don't need punctuation.
Because I know if I say, how you doing, and I put a question mark, you know that I'm asking you a damn question about how you doing.
Who knows? Maybe it was an exclamation. How you doing? You might have been fired up.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. I do know. I just like to capitalize names is all. I like to, if that's the only thing, is if I'm going to write a name, if it's not the first word in the sentence, if it's later in there, I'm still going to capitalize it out of respect to the person.
I usually don't capitalize when I'm on at all.
You only capitalize when you are. Yeah. We were asking because with the call screener for the AMA, some of the names are capitalized completely, and some of the names are only the first letters capitalized. And I wondered, like, do you guys just like Fernando better? Because Fernando's name is completely capitalized. And turns out Abe writes in all caps, and Bo doesn't. And that tracks. That makes perfect
sense. Hold on, that is not the full story. Nor was that what was said.
Abe talks in all caps, as he just did right there, confirming exactly what I was talking about.
I don't talk in all caps. I talk in bigger font. There's a difference. I read years ago.
You're talking Helvetica.
You're talking.
Yeah, something. I read years ago it's easier to read letters when they're in all caps. And so,
did you read it in all caps or was it written normally?
The article I read that in was not in all caps.
Okay. What a weird hypocritical article that was.
The headline was, though.
Okay.
Here's why you should type in all caps.
This segment here is brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. It's the AMA where you can ask us any question. And we'll start with Devin, who's in Kansas City.
Boy, listen, if there was ever a day I was going to call in, you know what I'm saying? Listen, bro, I had my jokes, but my wife, listen, I got to tell y'all what my wife said. And I got to ask y'all a question off this. She said, first off, somebody who sound like that, first off, his mouth, he got too thick of a mouth to be talking while we doing anything, bro. You know what I'm saying? Sound like a Negro spiritual making love, bro. You know what I'm saying? Bro, so my question is, Are y'all talkers? What level of talking? And like, does it mess the mood up? Or like, what level of talking are you, bro?
I think the
thank you, Devin. Important question.
It's a very important question. The talking is, I think it depends on the children effect.
Yes, for sure.
The child effect.
For sure.
All right. Now, don't be me. I don't give a damn. All right. Your ass need to be sleep. All right. Okay. That's and it's all mamas. Everybody, you know, mamas, all right, they, shh, you lock the door. You know, just doing mama stuff. Daddies, we don't give a damn. You know,
that's a learning opportunity.
You should walk in the room.
Yeah, you know exactly,
I
mean? Right.
You should walk in the damn room. You better knock.
If you do, then you see where you came from.
Yeah, I think it's more or less that, where the kids are and everything. I think that's it, the kids.
Now, that's current days, because it's in the house, whatever. Yeah. But like historically, you're in your own place.
Oh,
nobody's
yeah.
around.
Oh, I'm talking to you because I'm letting you know.
I won't shut up.
I'm letting you know. Yeah, I'm letting you know, and I ask questions.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Hey. It's a dialogue.
Yeah, it's all about that. Yeah, it's all about that. Yeah, I need. I mean, I don't need it, but I mean, I already know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But yeah, I talk to you.
Me too.
One
thing that's gonna not happen is nobody's gonna have a bad time.
No.
We're both gonna have a great time, and I want to make sure.
But
you make sure we're making sure.
But again,
you gotta.
Like I was saying earlier in the show, the people that were making fun of his noises. What the hell you be doing?
Yeah, what are you making fun of?
What are you be doing?
He's doing great. He's having fun. Now, the thing he said at the beginning, that's fine, too. And that's, you have to talk.
Hey, dog.
You have to talk.
Go to the next
day. No.
We have not confirmed he said that at the beginning.
Okay, whether he did or he didn't, all I'm saying is if you want to take things to the next level
sometimes,
you got to talk. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in neutral.
I don't think he said that unless he double joined it. He did get some new hips.
Yeah, so. New hips, former athlete. I'm just saying, like, if you want to fulfill some ideas you might have had, you got to ask about it. What do you think about this? Yeah? All right. You finally get that yes, and it's like, oh, man, I've been waiting for this. All right, Michael is in Atlanta. Hey, Michael. Hi, Michael.
So, look, my question is really about Georgia, but I got to start it off talking about Nick Saban. I mean, this dude trained so many coaches, so many people came from his organization, and when he leaves, they got to find a coach. He's a once-in-a-generational coach.
Right.
And then, of course, now I think Kirby Smart is that next level of coach, and the program in UGA. It's so spectacular with NIL now. It's going to be tough to knock Georgia off the top of that mountain. So the question is Kirby Smart going to be training his replacement? Is he going to teach and create the next level of Georgia coaches? Or are we going to get stuck having to try to find something?
Well, I think this the biggest
thing,
thank
you, Michael,
with a coach like Kirby is that he didn't leave and take another job.
Yeah.
You see, like,
he took the only job he was going to take.
Yep. Or replace Nick in Alabama.
Right.
But that was what he was going to do. Unless, like, a Texas or something. Maybe.
Right.
And I mean,
and that would have been a totally different scenario where Mark Richt or whoever it was there kind of had it where he has it now where he knows they're never going to
leave. But I mean, Kirby's got Dan Lanning. He's got Fran. He's got Coach Pittman.
Oh, yeah. The Kirby tree.
And I'm missing one.
Mel Tucker was at Michigan State.
Mel Tucker.
Del McGee at Georgia State.
Del McGee at Georgia State.
And it's just going to continue.
It's going to continue.
Here's the thing.
He's going to get a job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just, Kirby's so far from not being the head coach at Georgia anymore. The dude's in his mid-40s, right? Like late 40s. He's not going anywhere. So the idea of training his replacement, you can't think like that.
Right.
If you're on that staff. Now, someone who replaces him may have formerly been on his staff. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it's Dan Lanning.
Maybe Dan Lanning comes
20
back.
Years from now or something like that.
Yeah.
But Kirby's not going anywhere.
Kirby's not leaving Georgia no time soon.
No time soon. I don't know what it would take for him to do that, but it's not happening anytime soon. Steve isn't coming. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I guess my question is, I listen to you guys all the time, and I've heard nobody mention – everybody mentioned Kirk and the coach. What role does the general manager and the owner play in this knowledge of Kurt's limitations or lack thereof. Do you think everybody was being in the tree was really being honest with when they signed into all this money of what his limitations really were?
Yeah, no, thank you, Steve. I would say I would encourage you to go back 1 o'clock yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of me and Randy did like a whole wormhole down that, which nobody wants to actually get there. But that's a conversation. Is like, if this was something that was known beyond just what happened on Sunday, then people are going to be
people get fired.
Yeah, people are going
to
be fired.
Yeah, but the thing about it is they had to sell this to Arthur Blank. There's no way that Kirk Cousins is going to be Atlanta Falcon without Arthur Blank, because Arthur Blank has to give out that big-ass check.
Right, so, and I would imagine he said, are you sure? Because his Achilles snapped not too long ago.
No, he's going to be fine by the season.
Right.
All right, and Kirk says he's fine. Now, you're not fully back to where you are 9 months from the Achilles. Mm-hmm. You're not even at a year, but you can play with it. You can play through it. But how effective can you do? We're going to continue to see.
Yeah, but no, I would say I thought me and Randy actually had a pretty good conversation about that yesterday.
That's why I got fired.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was – so go listen to that.
But the thing about it is, the man who hires and fires people, how can he do that if he signed off on it, knowing that this was a possibility?
That's the thing. That's the thing. We got to hope that that's not the case at all.
Right.
Got to hope that's not the case at all. It's not a conversation anyone really wants to be having in a month from now. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show.
Abe says he can run 15 miles an hour, and Bo loves the animals.
Loves them.
Loves the animals.
Speaking of animals, Randy said that Shannon Sharp sounded like a mountain lion eating an animal carcass.
Yes.
Darn it. You stole that one from me. And that cognac and them blue dots get you grunting.
Yes.
And that's why you get married, to be each other's own actors.
Yeah,
right,
man.
Right.
Congratulations to the family. They've added another little D.
That was great.
And it's never good to hear an underwhelmed wow.
No.
I mean,
wow.
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 Okay.
Wow. Wow. Wow.